Let's turn to Mark chapter 4. Had a really good message prepared. Maybe I'll preach it tonight. Mark chapter 4. And just for a little bit of time here, I want you to really examine yourself. And if you can, if it's not an emergency, stay seated. Amen? If you don't have to get up, if you don't have to interrupt just for a little bit, please just stay seated, because this is going to be the most important time for somebody in this church unto salvation. You say, well, are they going to get saved today? I don't know. But it's going to lead to somebody getting saved. I fully believe it. Because this morning God told me, He said, go fishing. He said, go fishing. I said, okay, Lord. So what's going to happen is me and God, we're going to go fishing in your heart. And I broke out my best lure. This is the best message I know how to preach. Because I've seen more people get saved because of this message than anything else I've preached. Because it's gospel. Amen. Not because I preached it, it's because it's gospel. It's going to leave you without an excuse this morning. This word's going to examine you. It's going to hold you up. And it's going to show you who you are, whether you're saved or not. And at the end of this service, we're going to give you an opportunity to come up here and make a profession and let God have possession of your life, or you're going to have an opportunity to walk out of here and say no to God. Either way, we're going to be okay. Now, if you're saved and you know it this morning, you're absolutely sure of it, then this is where you press in and pray that somebody else gets it. Because in a crowd this size, not everybody in here is saved. But God wants to save everybody. Are y'all ready? And we'll make it plain. There's not going to be, you might not feel good. You might not go out here and say, man, that preacher really preached great. But you'll go out here knowing the truth. And you'll be accountable. Are you ready? I'm ready. Mark 4:1, and he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude. So he entered into the ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parable, and said unto them in his doctrine. Underline this and highlight this. In verse 2 it says, his doctrine. Now I want you to leave here this morning. I want you to know this for a fact. This is not our doctrine. This is not any doctrine other than Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ does have doctrine. Okay? So when you leave here this morning, I want you to totally understand this is not Kevin Shelton. This is not Flat Top Church. This is not some denominational thing. This is not anything but Jesus Christ trying to let you know where you stand with Him. So when you get aggravated or frustrated during this message because it's penetrating your heart, your soul, and your conscience, don't get mad at me, get mad at Jesus, because this is His doctrine, not mine. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and did yield up the yield. And others fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30. And some 60, and some 100. Y'all good? Now let's jump down to verse 11. Now we're going to explain this parable. And I want to share this with you first and foremost. I've been all four of these grounds, okay? I have. Shame to say it, but I have. Okay? I've been all four of these. So when I preach it, I'm going to preach it from a standpoint I can tell you exactly what this is, because I've been there. Amen? I'm going to tell you this, I'm glad I'm the fourth ground. Are y'all good? Let's get into verse 11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto all them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Okay? And seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they hear may hear and not understand, let at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven of them. Verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable, and how then will you know all parables? Verse 13 means this. I want you to explain this to you. If you can understand what I'm going to tell you this morning, you can understand everything you need to know to get into the kingdom of heaven. Okay, I'll say that again. I'll say it the way we'd say it. I'm going to tell you some stuff this morning, and if you understand it and accept it, you can go to heaven. If you understand it and you reject it, you will not go to heaven. Is that more plain? Okay? And if you've already accepted it, then you're going to heaven. Whew. Man, how can you be so bold? How can you be so black and white? How can you be so up and down? How can you be so heaven or hell? How can you be so sure? I can be so sure because guess what? The word sure. Okay? It's as sure as it can be. Let me just give it to you. Verse 14, the sower soweth the word. I want to tell you this, the seed's good. We sow the word of God. We sow the gospel. And it's good. The gospel works. And it works every time. So you say, well, it don't work because it didn't work in that person. No, it worked. It just didn't, that person didn't accept it. You understand? So the seed's good. I'm glad to be a part of a church at Flat Top that we're a part of. Do you know, there's only two kinds of preachers and two kinds of churches that are going on today in America. Do you know that? There's the ones that are going to be prosperity and feel good. Now, I can do that. I could. I'll be honest with you. I could do that. But there's real. Amen? There's real. And it hurts sometimes. And it feels good sometimes. And we laugh sometimes. And we cry sometimes. But it's effective. You know what? This church is real. Because we preach a real word. And sometimes you're going to leave here and you're going to be mad and upset and tore out of the frame because it's going to dig on you. Sometimes you're going to leave here and you're going to shout and praise because it felt good because you were lined up with God right where you needed to be. But aren't you glad to be a part of something that's real? I can preach you some messages that can make you feel good. And you can leave out here and say, it was good to be in the house of God. But I'd rather preach something that God told me to preach and you walk out of here miserable. Some of y'all come to me and say, you stepped on my toes. You kicked me in the machines. You did this. I want to tell you this. Hey, I didn't do a thing. I just told you what God said. And if that hurt, praise God. The only thing I know to do is buy steel-toed shoes or turn and change. And where it won't hurt. Y'all, verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan come immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now listen, I was this ground for a long time, probably 15 years of my life. I went to a little old church in Charleston, Tennessee, and the gospel was preached. Brother Steve Davis preached there, and he preached hell hot and heaven sweet. And I mean, I it was good. And there were times where I came to the altar and I cried out before God. But before I left the door, before I got into the parking lot, the devil would swoop by and take it off the top of my head. Because that's where it was. It was in my head. The devil would come by and just take it away, and I would go after the things that I would want to go after as soon as I left here. And if you be honest, some of you have been that person before. Your heart is so hard. The ground of your heart is so hard, the word can't penetrate it. It just lands there. And it, no longer than it takes for you to get out of here, the devil comes by, and next thing you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're living the same old way you were before you came to that awesome service. Been there and done that a million times. I've been that ground. Have you? Are you? Are you that ground? You better examine today whether that's what's going on in your life. And let me say this, because I know this is a touchy subject. But I don't care if everybody in this room thinks you're saved. I don't care if you've been a member of this church longer than anybody else or somewhere in between. This is a checkup day. And you better get your salvation. There's not a person in here would be upset because you thought you were saved and you weren't, and you get saved. And if they are upset, they need to check with themselves. Amen? Salvation is a singular operation. It's not corporate. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I can't save you. No, nobody else can. But you don't need to worry about what other people think about your salvation either. Y'all good? Verse 16. And these are that likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. I've been this ground too. I've been this ground. Come to the house of God, hear the word, and man, I can tell you, I'm going to be real honest and open with you this morning on this one. When I was about 13, I made a profession, and I sprang up. Pew! Amen? I sprang up. I went home, and I told my friends, hey, I've got Jesus. I've got Him. And they're all like, all right. And I even took some stuff. I took some pornography that I had in my home. You know how hard that is to say out loud? And I took some things that I was hiding from my mom and dad, and I went and I burnt it. That's how radical I got. I went out and burned it. But you know what I was doing about a week later? Sifting through the ashes. That's hard for me to say, but it's just true. So y'all can't really be true. A lot of times in the church, we gotta make it like cotton candy. I'm sorry, I ain't got cotton candy still where I got the real. And instead I just went back and got some new ones. Sorry. Can't preach like it in a real church, but I'm going to. I don't care. And I started doing the same things I did before, because guess what? All of a sudden, for this Jesus, I went to school, and this Jesus that I had popped up and was growing and I was doing great, all of a sudden, I started taking heat for His name, for the Word's sake. The Word is Jesus. I started taking heat. Well, who you think you are? You think you're better than us? You think you're better than that? You think this? Guess what I did? I wilted. I, under the heat and pressure, I just withered away, because I wasn't saved. Because I had no root about me. I didn't have anything that was going down into Christ. I wasn't in Him, and He wasn't in me. So I just withered away because of the Word's sake. Now, I could be persecuted. I could be criticized. But Jesus in me couldn't. Because He wasn't in me. I want you to write this down, and I want you to make this clear, and I want you to hear what I'm about to say. If you don't have Jesus, that profession will not stand under persecution. It will wilt every single time. Every time you come under heat, you will wither away. You will disappear. And that's a very clear indication that you don't have what you say that you have. Because if you can't stand under the heat, you're not saved. Amen. I know it's hard this morning for somebody to stand in 2017 and say, you're not saved. But I want to refer you back to verse 2. This is not my doctrine. Amen. This is His doctrine. Amen. He said, if you're saved, then you can stand under the heat. Because you'll reach down inside of you where Jesus Christ is. He is the vine and you are the branch. And all of a sudden, you will find strength you didn't know you had. Amen. You will find resources that you didn't know belonged to you. Yes. Because it's inside of you, not something that's on top of your head. Amen. If you're saved this morning, please help me pray this morning, right now. If you know you're saved, you pray for me right now, because I'm telling you right now, this is serious business. And we're preaching on deadly, dangerous ground. The devil will attack us because we're preaching this morning. No doubt about it. Because we're invading enemy territory this morning. Because there's some people that have been riding on a profession instead of possession. And God wants to save them, but the devil would want them to get mad instead. Amen. You okay? Help me pray. I'm not asking you to be a champion or nothing. I'm just asking you to sit here and say, Lord, help somebody that's struggling with this battle right now. I was that ground too. I was the stony ground, and I was the ground that was hard. I was that stony ground that shot up for a while. Boy, I professed Christ for about 2 weeks. But when the heat really turned up on me, I wheeled it away. Y'all ready? Now let's get into this third ground. Now, I know I was this guy. 18, and these are they which are sown among the thorns, such hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it become unfruitful. I know that one better than any of them. Amen? I know that one better than any of them. Say, oh, I got Jesus, I'm on fire. Yeah, I want that. I want that car. I want that girl. I want that house. I want that kind of deal. I want that job. I want what he has. I want what she has. I want popularity. I want fame. I want all this stuff. God, you just be real honest with yourself right here. Has the devil lied to you? Say, you got to have this boy. You got to have this girl. You got to have this kind of watch. You got to have this kind of jacket, this kind of shirt, this kind of shoes, this kind of car, this kind of... you just got to keep getting that stuff. And you keep believing when you get that next thing, it's going to trigger peace, joy, and happiness. Oh my gosh, I can't wait till I get to that brand new whatever it is. It's going to change my life. And 5 minutes later, you see somebody driving a new one, talking on a new one, wearing a new one, dating a new one, and yours is nothing but garbage. Because they're deceitful. The riches and the cares of this world are very deceitful. They promise you everything and never, ever deliver. I can tell you, I know this one in my own heart because I crammed everything this world had to offer into my life and none of it brought satisfaction. Every time I had it, I said, man, nobody's got this one. God, can I be really real? Can I be really real, David? Give me some permission. All right, see David right after church. Boy, if I get this tattoo, boy, ain't nobody got that one. Until you walk out of the shop, and you're at the ball game, and you look over, and 15 dudes got the same one you got. I said tattoos in church. Everybody's like, I'm sorry, I got scars on the outside. I'm sure you got some on the inside. Amen? Yeah, some of my sin tells on me. The problem with you, yours don't tell on nobody. It still remains. Uh-oh. We're so quick to judge the outside of the book instead of looking on the inside of the cover. Well, he looks rough. That's why, you know what? God don't want the ones walking in this door that look right. I don't want to lose a moment here. But you know what? As Christians sometimes, you know what we want? We want ready-made people. That's what we want. I'm being honest now. I'm preaching to you as a pastor. What we want is we want people to come through that door that look right, talk right, sing right, tithe right, do all the right. Because they're ready-made. Amen? They'll fit right in. But you got to ask yourself a question. Why are they here? Why didn't they come? Our last church, they just didn't understand us. They weren't like us. They weren't as spiritual as us. They weren't as great as us. You're like, oh no, we won't be either. Amen? You don't know yet, but we won't be either. You give me the guy who walks in here that's got the Budweiser cut off midriff shirt with a ponytail, with an earring and a crazy tattoo that says, I love mom. And some of y'all right now, some of you are laughing, some of you are saying amen, and some of you are like, oh crud, what did we do? Who do we let be our pastor? You know why? Because if we feed them the Word of God, they'll convert, they will repent, they will change everything about them, they will let God change, mold, and make them. Notice I said God, not me, and not you either, friend. Amen. If you think you're God's policeman, turn in your badge and gun, it's over. Amen. Amen. But if you let them people get changed, they're the kind of people that will charge hell with a water pistol with you because all their friends are down there. And they'll say, I got you back, man. I'll go in with you. Amen. Y'all don't believe me, but we had a man in our church who fits that description to a T. And every Sunday when he would come to church, he would walk up and he said, I ain't a singer. And he was not. He said, but I'm sitting back here in the back of this church reading the words of this Bible or this hymn, and this is all about Jesus. Do y'all mind if I attempt to sing this? Sing on, brother. And his name was Johnny. And boy, he would sing. He couldn't hit a lick. He'd start weeping and say, this is the one who saved me. Despite how I look, I don't look like none of y'all in here. I got a ponytail, and the only reason I do is because my wife likes it. Love it. And I dress the way I do is because this is the way I've always dressed. And I act the way I do because that's the way I've always acted. But since God's got a hold of me, I'm starting to change some stuff, and if y'all will be patient with me, I'll get where God wants me to get to. Too many times we look at people and say, they don't know how to act. They don't know how to act in our church. No, the problem is you know how to act. And they just being who they are. Sorry. So let's get back to the cares of this world. They promise you everything but never deliver. Is there anybody in here that's been promised everything by the devil and he never delivered on any of it? You thought you was getting more and more and better and better and better, and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Now I'm going to really preach at you. So if you're going to get mad, remember verse 2. It's not my doctrine. This is Jesus' doctrine. We're going to preach one more verse, and we're going to have a closing. And guess what? Then you're going to be accountable for this message. You're either one of these four grounds. And if you're not this fourth one, you're not saved. If you're not this fourth one, if you die today, you're going to spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell for the rest of eternity. If you're not this fourth ground, that's where you stand. And if you find yourself not in this fourth ground, what I'm talking about, you don't need to wait for a song. You don't need to wait for an altar call. You need to come up here and cry out to God and say, God, save me. The last time I preached this message, I was in Dayton, Tennessee, and I was preaching this message, I didn't know it, to an agnostic man who's now a believer in Christ Jesus, who got saved on the side of the road because he said, I am not that fourth ground, and I do not want to be separated from God for eternity. So I want you to hear this. Verse 20, and they that are which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. Do you hear what I'm saying now? Wherever you go, you act like Jesus. No, I'll say it again. You act like Jesus. That's what Christian means. A little Christ. Now listen, now some of y'all are sitting here going, I can't be perfect like Christ. No, but you can be more mature. Hey, I'll just say that. But here, I'm gonna ask y'all some, can y'all handle just some simple questions real quick? If I brought you, and I was going to do this today, but I didn't have time to run by the supermarket. Y'all, can y'all pretend with me? Mel, can you pretend just for a minute with me? You shout the last, because I don't know if anybody else will talk. Mel, if I was to reach into my pocket right now and I pulled out an orange, what would you say it was an orange? Say it was orange in color, and it was round, amen? And if I opened it up and it had a citrus look to it on the inside, it was orange, what would you call that? Is he right? Is he right? Is he right? Now, I mean, now that's not being judgmental, is it? Now, listen, Chase, are you good? Don't be slowing the uptake right here, son, okay? Okay, all right. Now, I go into my other pocket and I pull out this yellow thing and it's, you know, about that big, and I peel it, and it's white on the inside, and it kind of peels down on both all the sides, and you're holding it, and it's. Thank you. Thanks for helping Chase. What is it, Chase? In case nobody else heard it, amen. It's a banana. It's yellow on the outside. It's white on the inside, and they're probably, oh, this would be good with ice cream and chocolate. Right? That's a banana. Y'all are some prejudice. The little girl's prejudice. She called a banana because it sounded like I was describing. Is that correct? Now we'd call that prejudice. We'd call that we're judging somebody. But now what if it's red, right? And it's crispy. It's got a little stem at the top. an app. Man, these girls appear smart. It's an apple, and I didn't even get halfway talking about it. They knew exactly what it was. What if somebody can? Ooh, see if we girls are y'all. Can y'all? Somebody who loves everybody. Somebody who shares with other people. Somebody who's kind. Somebody who tells people about the gospel. Some people who go out of their way to help the poor. Missionary, but
Christian.
They're Christians. Just Christians.
If they talk like Christ,
walk like Christ, dress like Christ, do all the things of Christ, eventually people say, you know what, those are Christians. But here's the other side of this before we get too far down the road. If you talk like the world, and you act like the world, and you dress like the world, and you love the things that the world loves, what are you? You're lost. You're a sinner. Some 30, some 60, or some 100. Who are you this morning? Who are you this morning? Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation. If you're anything other than a Christian, if you're anything other than somebody who's producing Christ-like fruit, you are lost and separated from God as we speak. And if you were to die this morning, this afternoon, you would be separated from God for eternity. And some of y'all are sitting here this morning, it'll never happen to me. I'm only 14. I'm only 18. I'm only 24. I'm only 30. I'm only 40. I'm only 50. Let me tell you something, friend. Every time I snap my fingers, somebody passes away on this world. Every time. And I want you to know that. Because that next person could be you. And I ain't trying to scare you. So you're trying to scare me, preacher. If I could scare every one of you into this altar, I would. But I hope you can identify which ground you are. I hope you can identify what ground you are. And if you're not that last ground, or you're the first three, then you need to come. You've been identified, and you need to do something with Jesus this morning. And if you need me to, I'll pray with you. I'll stand right here. If you're not saved this morning, come get me.